Welcome to the Roundtable Podcast, a ministry of Westside Church that seeks to help those who have questions of Jesus, His church, and the call to follow Him.
All righty. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Roundtable Podcast. Thanks for listening. My name is Norm Funk. I am the lead pastor of Westside Church. It is great having you again, however you're listening. Joining me at the table today, as always, well, at least for the most part, James Bonney, North Shore pastor, campus guy, elder at Westside. James, thanks for being here again, man.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you. There it is again. There it is. On the other side of the table, Matt Manziel, who is also a pastor and elder at Westside, involved in our teaching and preaching ministry. Matt, good to have you.
Yeah, really good to be here. It's a pleasure.
That's good.
Well, you always say stuff so boring.
It's not a word, so that's why I don't use it.
All right.
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt you guys.
No, that's fine.
But guys, here's where I want to go today. I want to talk about a topic that, in many regards, I have very little to say on it from the standpoint of being an expert on it. And what I mean by that is, first of all, I want to talk about the topic of social media. I'm not an expert on it. I don't know all of the platforms. I know a little bit about certain things like Twitter. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. Obviously know what other things are about. I'm on LinkedIn, although I don't remember being, LinkedIn.
It's never happened.
Facebook, I know, is out there. Obviously, that's the biggest platform in terms of social media around, but there's a lot of stuff. What I want to do and why I want to talk about it is not to downplay it or to be negative on it. I think social media, like a lot of things today, which is a fairly recent phenomenon, at least in terms of its popularity, I want to spend some time today talking and thinking and considering the topic of social media and how to think Christianly about it. Meaning, should we, number one, is it important, or is that just something separate? I think we would share the opinion that it's not. I think, like anything, we need to think Christianly about all topics, and especially this one that has gone from, in many people's lives, something they use to something they're addicted to. So I think we need to hit that. So how do we think Christianly? And tied into that, what are the scriptures do in terms of help in answering that question? Excuse me. Meaning, are there helps? Obviously, the scriptures don't speak specifically to social media, but are there guidelines that would be helpful to us in going, okay, God, how can I do this in such a way? How can I use this platform in such a way that is honoring to you and consistent with who I claim to be? What are those things that I need to shy away from? And how do I kind of gauge this in terms of why do I do what I do on it? So I want to consider some of those questions. I'm going to turn and cough. So as I do, why don't you guys just chime in at this point, just share, you know, if you even think it's a relevant topic.
No, I think, first of all, to the question, you know, you just posed the question, which is a good one. You know, we should be asking, how can I use this platform in a way that's, you know, beneficial, in a way that builds up the body of Christ, all that kind of stuff. I think the question is even bigger than that, though. I think the question that we have to get to is, should I even use it? Because how can I use this for the sake of the gospel presupposes that it's a thing worth using. And I think that we have to actually be at least, I'm not saying it's not, I'm just saying we have to be willing to ask that question. Because it is like anything in culture. Our culture is so steeped in social media today that it's almost like it's a foregone conclusion. You're using social media, but it should, I don't think that should be the case necessarily for everybody.
Now, to push back a little bit on that,
yeah,
I can sort of hear the people listening to it, the dozens that listen to this podcast.
Tens. Yeah.
I got a cough, which is not a good thing to have when you're doing a podcast. Going, oh, come on, you know, Grandpa Manziel, we use a lot of social platforms. You know, did you have the question when it came to email? How about that before with faxes? How about that before at the phone? How about that before with, you know, smoke signals and carrier pigeons? So
a little bit different, though. Okay. I think we're combining different categories of tools here. The carrier pigeons, the email, the telephone, all these kinds of things. These are one-to-one communication social media is, what it is at its essence. Not that we don't use it for that, because we do, right? People message you on certain mm-hmm. things. You have conversations, direct message on Twitter or, you know, on Instagram or even on message on Facebook, whatever. We use them that way. But their primary focus is for us to represent ourselves okay. to masses of people. And that's where I think the Christian has to ask some gospel-centered questions. That's why I think the questions are a little bit different than other means of technology.
And hence, right? therefore, this podcast
yeah.
Is to address that question. Because I think in pushing back, it's not that I'm yeah, disagreeing no. with you, but I want people to hear and go, well, come on, bunch of old farts in a room talking about mm-hmm. social media. I mean, give your head a shake. This is 2015. This is just the way the world is. But I think that is a fair question.
Yeah.
I think it demands that we do go deeper and ask mm-hmm. them things of the heart,
right?
Mm-hmm. In why we present ourselves the way we do. What are some cautions that I think we should at least consider?
Yeah.
But maybe before we get that, I think it's also important for people to hear that we do understand the benefits
mm-hmm. oh, yeah.
of these things. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can even talk
well,
about that.
Yeah, I mean, James. Even the way like you can do community mm-hmm. way quicker. I mean, the people that you've maybe haven't seen, even family, like all my family's in Ontario, mm-hmm. They feel like they're a part of it because on Facebook they see our kids growing up. So it's a huge means. I mean, you even think of like the Roman roads and how the gospel got out from mm-hmm. from that kind of means. And so even social media, the way people are sharing their testimony, and here's a video, here's a clip. So there's huge, huge breakthrough for ministry that happens on social media as well. But going back to this question we're talking about, I think it's really helpful for even the Christian to even think this way, because subconsciously we just don't. We just do social media.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a good...
Oh, I totally... Like, I see the benefits of it too. Like, you know... I have an Instagram account, a Twitter account. My wife and I are on Facebook. You know, she has all the same stuff. She uses them, whereas I don't. But those, like, we see the benefits of it in past years too. Over the last decade, using those things, they've at times been a big part of ministry for me or my life. That kind of stuff. I've seen huge value. I totally agree. I totally agree with that. In fact, Facebook gets a bad rap often because it's, you know, it seems, I don't know what it is, but it kind of seems maybe not as cool or somebody's Instagram. I don't exactly know what it right. is. But what Facebook's awesome at that you don't get on Instagram, for example, and you can get on Twitter, but Facebook's even better at it just because the platform is actual good content. Like, you know, I've got guys on there like Gospel Coalition and, you know, all kinds of different ministries that I follow where they are regularly putting out really good content. Mm-hmm. And you just roll your mouse over it and an interview starts up with yesterday. I caught a little, it was a 6-minute little clip with Michael Horton, Tim Keller, and Matt Chandler, for example. These are guys that I personally like. And mm-hmm. so just to catch that 6 minutes of what they're talking about, I didn't do anything for that. I didn't go looking for it. It just was on my computer. It was really encouraging to me what they were talking. So there's huge benefits. I really think there are.
Yeah, and obviously because we have, as a ministry, various platforms. I mean, we mm-hmm. have various Instagram accounts. Mm-hmm. We have various Twitter accounts. We have a Facebook page. And we use it to advertise, to promote, mm-hmm. to train, and all.
Yeah.
All things besides. I mean, we use it so, but one of the wrestles for us recently as a ministry again is, okay, how do we use this in such a way mm-hmm. that it fits with our mission of mm-hmm. making Jesus known? And I think that's a question that individuals need to ask.
Yeah.
In the same way that you should, I hope, be asking that in terms of things like, how do I do entertainment?
Mm-hmm.
How do I do money? How do I do relationships? How do I do all of this mm-hmm. in a way that, as I said on the front end, is consistent with who I claim to be? And then tied into that, what are some of those things? And I got to be very careful because I don't know the heart behind mm-hmm, right, all no. of these things. But what do I see even in, and especially at times, ministries mm-hmm. in the use of these various platforms that go, boy, that comes across as more than information. It comes across as bragging,
mm-hmm.
as boastful, as pride-filled. And I say that with more fingers pointing back at me because I have that tendency.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe just to back the truck up a little bit, mm-hmm. I was sharing with you guys and the whole staff
mm-hmm.
a text this morning where in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is talking about the revelations. He's taken to the third heaven. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about how this took place. And it was a fantastic thing. It was a thing that took place that God says he wasn't allowed to share, but it was marvelous. It was astonishing. And Paul talks about how this particular revelation could have led to conceit and boasting. And let me just read, just picking up in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, "Though, if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth." Meaning, this did take place. I'm not making it up. It was wonderful. I got to experience things that no one else has, except for a very select few in the story of God. And then he says, "But I refrain from it, boasting about this, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears in me." In other words, and this is something that Paul says a couple of other different instances, the most prominent perhaps being in Philippians 4, where what Paul is saying is, I want to be evaluated by you, by what you see in my life and what you hear me teach, and what comes out of my life. That's my evaluation. I don't want you to think more highly of me than ought to be thought, because quite frankly, we as people have that tendency.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we have the ability to look at others and elevate them to places, especially those individuals that we respect. And then as they talk about these special situations that have gone on in their life or their ministry or something they're involved in, and then we raise them. And to paraphrase something that D.A. Carson said in connection with this text, Paul was more concerned with people thinking too highly of him than not thinking highly of him enough. That's an amazing and astonishing statement, and something that I think should guide us. That because people have this tendency to raise individuals on a platform, and this was certainly true in the Corinthian church, Apollos, Cephas, super apostles, this is still the case with people today. And Paul says, I want to speak into that. I don't want you to think this way of me. And the tie-in for me in social media is I think we do have this tendency to present ourselves in ways that really are inconsistent with the true person who we are, or even if they are true, we want to elevate ourselves in man's eyes. True statement? That's why I'm bringing this to social media. Maybe this is a guide, a place to start in terms of how we should think Christianly about how we use it.
I mean, I think, for me, I remember one time I tweeted, I think it was Adrian Warnock, and it was a quote out of the Resurrection book, and I got a bunch of retweets from people all over, and I felt welling up in me just this sense of a worth and value, and like, wow, people saw this, and you could just see the ugliness come out. And I think it is just an epidemic where we are, our natures are glory hungry. We want to seek the glory that comes from man. And so social media is like the fruit of that, like is the temptation we want to bite, because we can quickly within a post get the glory.
Absolutely. Do you see that same thing, Matt?
Oh yeah, and I you know, I would I would go back to your initial statement there too. You know, you said there's a lot of fingers pointed back at you. That's the case for me, because what I'm very, very good at is projecting my sin onto other people. Like, that comes very naturally to me. So I can pull things out, and whether right or wrong, I have no idea, but I can project my sin onto other people very, very readily. And social media does not help me in that.
So what do you mean by that, project your sin?
I mean exactly what Norm was just kind of saying. So you read, you know, you see something from another ministry posted, kind of comes across you like a bit of a humble brag. You're a little bit like, by it. Probably what's happening there is some of the sin that's inside of you is kind of welling up, and maybe there's a little bit of envy, or there's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and so you can see it, like you can see it easily, and you have like 20/20 vision. You know, it's the log and the speck thing happening, right? As Jesus told us, right? Like, it's, and that happens to me often with social media. Part of the reason why I've discovered it's not good for my heart. I think when it comes to me, I think I'm kind of the weaker brother in this sort of thing. You know, I think the irony of a weaker brother is sometimes the temptation for a weaker brother is to think actually you're stronger.
Sure.
Sure.
Right? The temptation of a weaker brother is to think that I'm the strong one. No, I think I think it's different for everybody, but for me, I'm a bit of a weaker brother, I think, when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah, and the tendency of the weaker brother, as Paul writes about in Romans 14, is to judge.
Yeah,
right. Right? So you judge and you go, I mean, let's use a case in point, like in ministry circles and tweets. It's sort of like, hey, Full House at our kickoff, praise God.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, is that a humble brag? Mm-hmm. And your heart starts judging. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in fact, they may be overjoyed, and it's not. They're just wanting to rejoice. They're wanting to give glory to God, but our hearts are going, that's a humble brag. Yet, yet, I can still, just projecting on myself, I agree with you. There are times where there is an aspect of putting those out for me personally where I go, this makes me look better. And I have to check my heart. What am I doing? Am I truly trying to bring glory to God? Because I do. I mean, I want to bring glory to God, and I don't want to take away that opportunity just because my heart is not totally clean in this regard.
Well, Luther talked about that. This is Luther's whole thing of we've never once had a perfectly pure motivation in anything we do. You know, I heard someone else talk, I forget who right now, but just using the illustration, you see your neighbor, you come home, your neighbor's got a flat tire. You think to yourself, I'm going to go help him. You know, Luther would kind of tell you, your motivation is not perfectly pure, so what should you do? Should you help your neighbor change his tire? Yes, with an impure motive, because the tire still gets changed, and there's still an act of love, and so we still do. So I think social media falls into that category. There can be a positive benefit to it. I think, you know, for me, as on a personal level, like as an individual, not as a ministry, for me, you know, when Twitter first kind of happened, I was very active on Twitter. Like if you were to go to my Twitter account, you could scroll back and, you know, when I started using it, I would do normally 4 tweets a day, and I would do them out of my devotions. And this was a really holy moment kind of thing for me. And I have 4 places that I read from in my Bible most days. And so it would be a discipline for me, and I really worked hard at it. And each one of the 4 places, I would read the text, and I would condense down a thought. It was really a work of applying the Bible to my life. I would condense down a thought that had to fit within 140 characters. Right. It was really helpful to me. And then I would go on Hootsuite, and I would schedule 4 tweets throughout the day. So I would do it all in the morning. It would take me like an hour as a part of my devotions. And then throughout the day, like every 4 or 5 hours, a tweet comes out. And I had lots of people being helped by that. And I did that for a long time. But then I started to wrestle more and more with what you're talking about. I had to ask myself, because I think my motivation was pure as best I could tell early on. But slowly it became, it kind of turned into a pursuit of affirmation for me. The retweets and the different things that kind of happened, the favorites, the new followers, that kind of, I felt, and it's at a very small level, right? Obviously, it's me, but it became toxic to me. It became poisonous. And here's the poison of social media, I think. The gospel is a worldview philosophy, right? I mean, the gospel changes the way we see all of life. And everything we put in front of our eyes or into our minds changes the way we see life. So if you love movies and you're always watching movies, you'll go through your day, you know, and you'll kind of see through that lens. If you, you know, there's a million examples. If you love sports, you know, you kind of see things through that lens. And it, in the same way, if you read the Bible, if you love the Bible, you love God's word, you'll see life through that lens. And I find the same thing with Instagram, with Twitter, those two for me, if I'm active on them, if I'm looking at them on a regular basis, even a couple times a day, I start to see life through that lens. And the lens for me of like a Instagram or a Twitter is very comparative. And so for me, it becomes toxic for me, where my life becomes a little bit more draining, a little bit less God glorifying, because I'm considering myself more in my day-to-day, moment by moment, than considering God. Because I'm thinking, how does this work as an Instagram picture? Or how does this work as a tweet? Or how can I put this? How people, I don't need those thoughts in my head. I already have them there.
Right. And just to be clear, I'm just thinking about the person listening. Yeah. you're not saying that social media is the evil.
No,
you're
saying it's
when I bring my flesh, when I bring the things that I'm trying to cut off and push away, this is how it affects me. This is so for other people, it may not be an issue at all.
Right.
I mean, they are motivated by things that are good, pure, right, and true.
Yeah.
But you're saying for you, this is my reflection, this is what it does to me, mm-hmm. and therefore I want to kill this, and mm-hmm. this is how I kill it. There may be a time in the future where you go, no, this is a really great resource, I'm going to implement that, but at this stage, this is what it's done for me, and this is what it will do to me, and until I hit that stage of maturity and Christ-likeness and stepping in that, that's where I'm going to land for now. How do you guys, so I know you are on various social media outlets, outlets and platforms. What guides you? Because you still use it. I've seen Instagram shots, or your spouse does. I know you're on Facebook. So am I. Maybe... What's the matrix, or what's the grid that things filter through?
Yeah, well, I know for me, I am trying to think of who's following me, who's going to see this. I don't go on Facebook, but on Twitter, I'm thinking a lot of things like, honestly, I struggle with all the same stuff, but some of it's just information. I want to get an event out into the city, and so I'll do a lot of, you know, hashtag North Vancouver if we're doing something down at the Quay or that kind of thing, or if there's a question or a good article that I know will help some people. So I try to think, you know, the second commandment, will this love my neighbor? Will this benefit those who follow me? Why are they following me? Will it help them follow Jesus? Again, that's part of the pure motive, but those are the things. At least when I post, I'm thinking, how can I get the lost to see this, and will this benefit those who, within the church, who are following me? So, yeah, you know, people say you got to kind of build. The one thing I struggle with is they say you got to build up you. People need to follow you, not the church, not all that. You to build this ministry on you. And so, you know, post how great of a husband you're being, and post all these superhero, I'm a pro Christian, I'm a pro pastor, come to my church. And that's been a struggle for me more, and why I've kind of slowed down on the Twitter is I'm not a pro Christian, I'm not a pro pastor. My date nights are not as fancy pants. So that's been kind of the struggle, but that's kind of what guides me is, will this benefit those who are following me? So
how about you?
Yeah, well, I ask the same questions, you know, and I tend to think mostly of my unbelieving friends, you know, that those are the ones that really come to mind, which in the past, you know, if I'm tweeting something or it was mostly Twitter, like I kind of see that the kind of three major streams a little bit differently. Facebook for me is kind of communication with family. So the only thing I really do on there is messages. And then I scroll down for some content. I really don't follow people on there very much. It's more just content, like ministries and things. And then Twitter for me has always been more of it's been more profundities, you know, it's more like a profound thought or like an important, something like that. That's Twitter. Instagram for me just is a bit more event based, right? Like there's a fun thing happening or whatever. So I know that that's not the way they always work, but for me, that's how they work. And so in each of those things, I would especially consider, my unbelieving friends who are following me in those things and try to, it's easy to just speak to the Christians, especially on a thing like Twitter, for example.
Right.
You know, put something out that Christians are going to retweet and really like. And but I sometimes, I guess my question and the reason why I don't do a lot of this is because the grid that I run these things through is how effective is this really? Like, how much does my voice here matter really? And like, and I don't think I have a good answer to that question. Like, you know, when I look at when you just scroll through Twitter and you see the amount of those profundities and the amounts of guys that have opened up their Bible and came up.
C.S. Lewis quotes.
Oh, come with 140 character, whatever. It's like, yeah, I could do something similar or, you know, but is it effective? Does it matter? Or does it just exist because I like affirmation? And so that's why I don't really do it. So that's kind of my grid.
Yeah, I think there's the aspect of affirmation. There's also the aspect of presenting an image of yourself that people will look at and go, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What a great dad.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great husband or wife. What a boy, they go on trips, man. What a great boy. And there's an aspect of projecting an image of yourself that's not necessarily untrue. It's just not full. Mm-hmm. And the way we react to it at times is, boy, I'm not a very good dad because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not at the park with my kids right now. Right. And man, I can't make that. And boy, I don't appreciate art the way they do. And yeah. boy, I don't, yeah. you know, eat places like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think there's that. Now somebody would say, well, that's your issue. Mm-hmm. I'm just putting stuff out. I get that. I'm mm-hmm. not, then I'm yep. not speaking to you then if yeah. you're listening to this, but I am it. What, and the reason I bring that up, it's in the context of what Paul is writing here. Paul is saying, not only do I want to make sure that you don't overvaluate me, I also want to make sure you evaluate me accurately. And what right. Paul, in the lead up to this and in the following sentences after what I just read in 2 Corinthians 12, he boasts about his weaknesses. Yeah. He boasts about the thorn in his flesh that God gave him so that he wouldn't be conceited.
Yeah.
Paul talks about his sufferings, and he projects himself in a way that says, look, my life isn't everything that you think it is. Mm-hmm. I go through hard times. Mm-hmm. I go through times where my prayer life is answered by God saying, no,
yeah.
I'm good enough for you, and I'm not mm-hmm. taking away this. And I think, not that I think we need to, for every, you know, tweet or Instagram pic that goes out and says, you know, here's my date night. Do we have to have a negative one? Here's me and, you know, my wife in a fight now.
Yeah.
But I think we need
a hard picture to get.
Yeah.
Wait, this will be good.
Yeah. yeah.
This is humble.
But I think that I think we need to at least count to three and ask, what am I trying to do with this? Yeah. How am I trying to project myself?
Yeah. Who am I trying to please, really? I mean, I think we're the biggest judges in the courtroom of our own tweets. And I mean, no one else is thinking like we do. But on that note,
what do you mean no one's thinking like we do?
Well, like, you know, for example, when we tweet something, we're the biggest person we're living for.
Right.
Like, we want our own. No one who saw that tweet thought what we thought to go into that tweet or are judging us the way we're judging us from that tweet.
Right.
They're not thinking anything that we're thinking. So we're the ones that we want to matter most. And I love Paul says, I don't know where it is, maybe 2 Corinthians 4, but he says, I don't even judge myself. Like, my conscience is before the Lord. So I think that's kind of where you want to get to. But one question I had for you was, you tweet, I follow you.
Mm-hmm.
You have great provocative tweets here and there, just good biblical truth. What's your grid? What would be?
I try to use Twitter and Instagram, and I can say my this is my mindset, to encourage the body of Westside.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part. I mean, I'll do pictures of my family, but for the most part, I do that. So oftentimes my Instagram pictures are in the morning of Bible verses mm-hmm. that I want to encourage right. people. So if you're getting up and you're heading off to work, mm-hmm. even if I can get a couple verses into you, I do that. Mm-hmm. If I can help people go to an article or something like that, then I try to do that. Mm-hmm. But boy, if you're listening to this, and going, well, that's not always true. You're right. I mean, there are times, and I would be the first to confess, where I've Instagrammed stuff or posted stuff on Instagram or tweeted out things that do make me look good. Mm-hmm. I'm here. I'm meeting with this person. I'm getting on the plane to go to right. this place. And yeah, I that's why this is, when I say fingers pointing back to me, this is something I'm still wrestling with. That being said, I think that this is a way on a daily or a every couple of days basis to encourage the body, encourage mm-hmm. those people that go, well, you know, what is my pastor doing? What is my right. pastor thinking about? Yeah. And I like, it's interesting when I show up on a Sunday and I go into the lobby and I see certain people, I really don't even know them in terms of we never hang out, but I almost feel like I do in a sense where I go, hey, I just right. followed you. Yeah, it looked like you had a great week. I saw a couple pictures.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that actually really likes that aspect. Yeah, yeah. I feel like I know people at Westside better in some ways, obviously not deeply, mm-hmm. but in some ways because of what I see on you know, whatever.
Totally. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
On the other side, it normalizes, like, even the celebrity pastor, too, because I think people would say the same about you, who follow you. They've seen some of your sermon prep that week, even if you tweeted it out, what were going on. They see the pictures on Instagram, and they don't need to, like, have that handshake. They kind of know your life and...
Yeah, I try to you know, that reminds me when you asked that question. I do try to prime the pump for Sunday.
I like that.
In sermon prep. Well, I'll say I'm going to hit this, and I'll even give a quote from the message on a Thursday so people know, you know, maybe this is something I was, maybe I could invite a friend to this, or, oh, I'm anticipating this, and I'm going to really come with expectation. I'm going to hear some things that are really vital. But, you know, to your point previous, Matt, how many people really follow it and get it? It may be a handful that, even though I may have more than a handful of followers, I don't have a lot, but if I have more than a handful, how many actually gear in on that? It may be, what, half dozen?
Yeah, I think those are still good things to do, though. I think those are still really helpful things. If I could say one thing, I know we're going to wrap up. If I could say one thing that I think is just, you know, something that I would want to encourage people with coming out of a conversation like this, one of the greatest needs I think that we have in the church today is for people to love the Word so much, to love Jesus so much, that we can rediscover silence and solitude. Mm-hmm. Like, I think silence and solitude is becoming more and more increasingly just a completely lost discipline to our culture today. And social media, though not bad, and I don't think it's bad, but I think that it's not helping us in that. I think it's making that even harder. Mm-hmm. And so what the point that I got to personally, because I was so used to, I wanted to encourage people, I wanted to do these good things, which I think are awesome. Maybe stronger brothers can do and sisters can do those kinds of things. The point that I got to personally, even in trying to be motivated rightly, was I would have these times of solitude and prayer and meditation on the Word and my times, and I would start to feel uncomfortable if I didn't get a tweet out of that or an Instagram picture out of that. And I would start to actually feel, it would start to aggravate me, where I started to feel like, or I'm getting on a plane right now and going to something, and I would start to feel aggravated if I'm not putting it out there, and that's when I realized there's an issue. And so just in the same way as I told you earlier, it was a discipline for me to sit down and go, I'm going to condense down what I just read, these two chapters, four times in every morning, condense it down to a thought. That's a good thing to do. It became equally as much of a discipline for me to not do that. And I think that's just my personal journey. But I don't want anyone to hear me saying that I think these are evil means or anything like that. It's just, I think I am going back to the weaker brother. I think, and I don't think I'm alone. And I think we need to give freedom for those people who are like me, who wrestle with that, to abstain, to say, you know what, I don't need to have this on my phone or anywhere in my life. And I think that's an okay thing too.
There's a text found in Psalm 63. You know, fasting is most often associated with food, but there are many things in our lives that we run to that bring satisfaction and replace our satisfaction that should be in Jesus with other things. But the psalmist in Psalm 63 writes, "My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food." Food satisfies me. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. There's this aspect of, that's where our satisfaction needs to be. He's not down on food, but he's saying, look, this is bigger, and give your mind to this. Think about this. Meditate on this. So when you do go back to this, it's a rejoicing and not a dependence. Yeah. It hasn't become that replacement for whatever, for your walk with Jesus.
Yeah.
And it can be food for people, and obviously it can be social media for people and all of that. And I think we need to think through that. And we can't just simply, and this is going full circle, we can't just, as followers of Jesus, just kind of give ourselves to things and not think like Christians as we enter it, and check our hearts so that we're a blessing to others and we will be blessed as well. Yeah. Any last thoughts? Our time is done. This is a huge topic.
Yeah.
I like how you said it, Matt. Look, we're not downplaying this. We're just trying to encourage people. Encouraging ministries, encouraging individuals, families. a body that edifies, mm-hmm. Doesn't seek to place itself above others, discouraging others, mm-hmm. comparing ourselves to others.
Yeah. I mean, I would just, last thought is, I think what we're saying is really just comes down to checking your heart and dealing with the Holy Spirit with what you find there. Mm-hmm. And if that takes you down where Matt's landing, or that takes you, because you even think of Paul's words, follow me as I follow Christ. Like, I think, would Paul be on Twitter? Maybe.
Maybe.
Because he would be sharing Christ everywhere he went. And so he's maybe in that place where he is checking his heart. But then you have that text you just read where he wouldn't maybe tweet in a certain way. Or mm-hmm. So it is up to the conscience, I agree. But yeah. I think, again, the principle is, like, are you making Jesus known? Do you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and you love your neighbor? And is that where it's coming from?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, in Paul's days, it was letters, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
share this letter with somebody else.
That's right.
And take this to this next church and share it there. So there is that aspect. But yeah, it comes down to the motivation of the heart. Guys, huge topic. Probably just scratched the surface of it. But I think at least it primes the pump for thinking, which I think is a helpful thing. So if you're listening to this, I hope it has done that at the very least. If you want to find out anything else about Westside as a ministry, wchurch.ca, and go online, find us there. Information about both campuses, information about our current series on the book of Exodus, information about community groups, counseling ministry, kids ministry, youth ministry, and everything in between. So check us out and join us in a couple of weeks for another roundtable podcast. Thanks, guys, for joining me again. Appreciate it. Bless you, man.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Roundtable Podcast. For more information about the ministry of Westside Church, go to wchurch.ca.